Live from the Bloomberg Interactive Brokers Studios, this is Bloomberg Daybreak for Friday, November 4th, 2022. Coming up this hour,
Wall Street braces for the October jobs report.
Apple is the latest company to put the brakes on hiring.
Twitter plans job cuts today as it gets hit by a class action lawsuit over the firings.
And Donald Trump gives his strongest signal yet that he plans to run for president in 2024.
The NYPD has arrested a suspect in the rape of a Manhattan jogger. Plus, New Jersey Governor Murphy warns of a credible threat to synagogues. I'm Michael Barr. More ahead.
I'm John Stashower in sports. A Kyrie Irving suspension followed by an apology. The Astros beat the Phillies to take the lead in the World Series.
That's all straight ahead on Bloomberg Daybreak. On Bloomberg 1130 New York. Bloomberg 99.1 Washington, D.C. Bloomberg 1061 Boston. Bloomberg 960 San Francisco. Sirius XM 119. And around the world on BloombergRadio.com and via the Bloomberg Business app.
Good morning. I'm Nathan Hager.
And I'm Karen Moscow. And U.S. stock index futures are higher this morning. We're coming up to 501 on Wall Street, and we check the markets every 15 minutes throughout the trading day on Bloomberg. S&P futures up 19 points this morning. Dow futures up 128, and NASDAQ futures up 64. The DAX in Germany is up 0.9%. 10-year Treasury up 4/32, yield 4.12%, and the yield on the 2-year 4.73%. And NYMEX crude oil is up 2.4%. Nathan.
Karen, a busy week on the economic calendar wraps up this morning with the October jobs report. Economists forecast a gain of 195,000 jobs with an unemployment rate of 3.6%. Let's get a preview now from Bloomberg's Michael McKee.
Today's jobs figures could have a major impact on markets, but likely only if they come in stronger than forecast. The Fed is looking for deceleration, and if we get slower job creation and a higher unemployment rate, that would be perceived as good news. Fed policymakers expect the jobless rate to rise, but though they've raised the nation's benchmark interest rate by 375 basis points this year, so far it hasn't budged. Stronger than forecast numbers would suggest the Fed has to raise rates higher than markets currently expect, and there would be a rush to reprice. Still, with three inflation reports and another jobs number before the Fed meets again, any big reaction today may be short-lived. Michael McKee, Bloomberg Daybreak.
All right, Mike, thank you. We'll have complete coverage and analysis of the jobs report. It comes out at 8:30 a.m. Wall Street time. An hour after that, we will speak live with Labor Secretary Marty Walsh on Bloomberg Radio and Television.
Well, Nathan, we're seeing more tech companies pull back on hiring. The latest evidence of that is that Apple, the iPhone maker, is hitting pause on most positions outside of research and development. We get the story from Bloomberg's Charlie Pellet.
Sources say it's an escalation of an existing plan to reduce budgets heading into next year. Apple joins other technology giants in tapping the brakes on hiring, a response to sluggish consumer spending and higher interest rates. The iPhone maker has fared better than many tech peers this year, but it's still facing an industry-wide slowdown for smartphones and computers. In a statement, Apple said it does continue to hire, quote, but given the current economic environment, we're taking a very deliberate approach in some parts of the business. In New York, Charlie Pellet, Bloomberg Daybreak.
All right, Charlie, thanks. And Twitter plans to start cutting staff today. As we've been reporting, new owner Elon Musk plans to eliminate half the 7,500 people who work at the social media platform. Those planned layoffs have now prompted a class action lawsuit. It accuses Twitter of violating a federal law that requires at least 60 days' notice before mass firings.
Well, the hiring squeeze isn't just in the tech sector, Nathan. Coca-Cola is offering voluntary buyouts to some of its staff in North America. The beverage maker currently employs about 6,000 people on the continent. Coke is not saying which positions or how many will be affected or eliminated.
Well, Karen, you might call this job news of a political kind. Former President Donald Trump is sending his strongest signal yet that he plans to run for the White House again in 2024. Amy Morris has the details from our Bloomberg 99.1 newsroom in Washington.
Trump has teased for months that he plans to make another White House run, but during last night's rally in Iowa, he all but declared his candidacy.
In order to make our country successful and safe and glorious, I will very, very, very probably do it again, okay?
His former advisor, Kellyanne Conway, says she expects Trump to announce soon, likely after Tuesday's elections. The rally was billed as an event supporting Republican Senator Chuck Grassley and other endorsed candidates. It also happens to be the state that holds the first presidential caucuses. Trump is also scheduled to hold rallies in Pennsylvania, Florida, and Ohio. In Washington, I'm Amy Morris, Bloomberg Daybreak.
All right, Amy, thank you. Well, we turn back to the markets now. Stocks in Asia rose overnight as Chinese tech shares rebounded more than 10%. We get a recap from Bloomberg's Juliet Sally in Singapore. Good morning, Juliet.
Good morning, Nathan and Karen. The MSCI Asia Pacific Index headed for its biggest weekly jump since July as Chinese assets rallied amid investor speculation Beijing may roll back its COVID zero policy. Chinese stocks listed in Hong Kong had their best week since 2011. The offshore yuan jumped more than 1% against the dollar, but Japanese shares were a drag in Asia as investors in Tokyo played catch-up after Thursday's holiday. In Singapore, Juliet Sali, Bloomberg Daybreak.
Juliet, thanks. In Europe, Britain's headed for a deep recession that could lead to more than 500,000 people losing their jobs. That was the Bank of England's message yesterday as it raised interest rates by 75 basis points to a 14-year high of 3%. BOE Governor Andrew Bailey is defending the rate hike.
Not the fact that we've done 75 today, nobody should read into it. That's the new norm. I don't think, you know, people would be surprised when they see that, you know, we and the Fed are looking at things through slightly different lenses.
Bank of England Governor Andrew Bailey made the comments in an interview with Bloomberg's Francine Lacroix. Hear more of that conversation a little later in the program.
Well, back here in the U.S., Nathan, New York City's new pay transparency law has a blind spot, Wall Street bonuses. The new law requires local employers to make a best estimate of their salary range and job postings. The idea is it'll give candidates a stronger hand in negotiating compensation. But bonuses are exempt from the law, even though they make up the bulk of Wall Street pay.
All right, let's look at some stocks that may be on the move on Wall Street today, Karen. Right now, shares of Starbucks are up more than 2.5% in early trading. The company reported sales that exceeded expectations. PayPal shares are down 7%. The payment platform trimmed its forecast for annual revenue amid a slowdown in spending growth. And shares of Block are higher by 14%. The company, formerly known as Square, reported revenue above analyst estimates. Futures are higher ahead of the jobs report. S&P futures up 16 points. NASDAQ futures up 59. Straight ahead, your latest local headlines and a check of sports. This is Bloomberg. And it's now 5:07 on Wall Street. We're at 53 degrees in Central Park. Got an accident northbound New Jersey Turnpike before exit 11. More coming up in traffic. First, Michael Barr's here with what else is going on in New York and around the world. Good Friday morning, Michael.
Good morning, Nathan. The NYPD says a man with more than a dozen prior arrests has been taken into custody for allegedly raping a woman on a jogging path along the Hudson River in Manhattan's Lower West Side yesterday. The victim was able to flag down another jogger for help after the incident.
She was bleeding on her arms and she wasn't wearing any shoes. Her clothes were kind of torn up, but I could tell that they were workout clothes.
Police say after the attack, the suspect, Carl Feynard, took the victim's wallet and was arrested at a Target store using the victim's card. The midterm elections will be held this Tuesday across the country with many tight races that will decide the balance of power in Congress. Republican Congressman Andy Barr of Kentucky.
People are ready for a big change. I anticipate a red tidal wave election. Not just here in Kentucky, but around the country in battleground districts for the control of the Congress. I anticipate not only the voters will make a change in the majority and put Republicans in charge, but it's going to be a big win.
Congressman Barr on Bloomberg's balance of power. The race in Pennsylvania is being watched very closely as Democrat John Fetterman and Republican Mehmet Oz are neck and neck, according to the latest polls. It could determine the control of the U.S. Senate. Meanwhile, Oprah Winfrey, who helped make Dr. Oz a household name on TV, says she is backing Fetterman in the race. The race for New York's 18th congressional district is also being watched. Democratic Congressman Pat Ryan is up against New York Republican Assemblyman Colin Schmidt. Ryan talked about abortion and the Supreme Court overturning Roe v. Wade.
Unequivocally, it's not the only issue, of course, but it is one of the most salient issues that people are rightly outraged that fellow Americans' fundamental rights and freedoms were ripped away.
Colin Schmidt.
The issues that are playing out here are the economy and crime. That is the main two issues They're almost tied in importance to the voters when we hear about it.
Schmidt and Ryan spoke on Sound On, which airs at 5 p.m. on Bloomberg. Governor Phil Murphy says authorities are closely monitoring a credible threat to New Jersey synagogues. No word on what information officials had received. Global News, 24 hours a day, on air and on Bloomberg Quick Take, powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr, and this is Bloomberg. Nathan.
All right, Michael, thank you. Coming up to 5:10 on Wall Street, time for the Bloomberg Sports Update, brought to you by Tri-State Audi. Good morning, John Stanshauer.
All right, good morning, Nathan. Another eventful day in the life of Kyrie Irving. It began at Nets practice, after which Irving met the media for the first time since last Saturday. He said plenty, as he often does, but like last Saturday, at no time did he apologize for that posting of the anti-Semitic video, and that angered NBA Commissioner Adam Silver, and it angered the Nets, who suspended Irving for at least 5 games. They said until he satisfies a series of measures. 4 hours later, there was an apology in an online post, so it's not known if Kyrie will play for the Nets tonight in Washington. At the World Series, after games that were 7-0 and 5-0, which was a no-hitter, a tight game 5 in Philadelphia, the Astros scored on the fourth pitch of the top of the first inning, and the Phillies scored on Justin Verlander's second pitch of the bottom, a Kyle Schwarber home run, 1-1 in the fourth.
Here's the 2-2. Swing and a drive down the left field line. Schwarber back. He's on the warning track, and that is out of here! Jeremy Peña! Over and out. The Astros lead 2-1 as Peña shoots a rainbow to left.
ABM made the call. Peña, the rookie shortstop, 3 hits, drove in 2. Astros beat the Phillies 3-2 with Verlander finally getting a World Series win. He was 0-6 with a 6 ERA. Game 6 tomorrow night in Houston. Also Philadelphia versus Houston in the NFL. Eagles stay undefeated, winning 29-17. At the Garden, Rangers welcomed in the NHL's best team. Bruins won 5-2. They're 10-1. Islanders and Devils both won on the road. They both won 5 in a row. John Stanshauer, Bloomberg Sports. Nathan?
Thank you, John. S&P futures right now up 17 points. Dow futures up 112. NASDAQ futures up 60 points. On this Jobs Friday, we'll preview October payrolls next with Jennifer Lee, senior economist at BMO Capital Markets. This is Bloomberg. The Bloomberg Sports Report was brought to you by Audi. Don't let someone else drive off in the Audi model you've always wanted. Visit your local Tri-State Audi dealer to get behind the wheel of yours today or visit AudiOffers.com for more information.
Markets, headlines, and breaking news 24 hours a day at Bloomberg.com, the Bloomberg Business app, and at Bloomberg Quick Take. This is a Bloomberg Business Flash.
And I'm Karen Moscow. Global equities are trimming a weekly loss as Chinese shares surged amid signs that authorities are trying harder to ease the impact of its COVID zero policy. Treasuries are, well, they're higher after, before today's jobs data. We check the markets every 15 minutes throughout the trading day on Bloomberg. S&P futures up 25 points, Dow futures up 161, and NASDAQ futures up 85. The DAX in Germany is up 1.25%. 10-year Treasury up 4/32, the yield 4.12%, and the yield on the 2-year 4.74%. NYMEX crude oil is up 2.8%, up $2.43 at $90.60 a barrel. COMEX gold up 0.33% or $22.20 at $16.53.20 an ounce. The euro 0.9781 against the dollar. British pound 1.1241 and the yen 147.68. And Bitcoin is up 1.8% at $20,600. And we do get that October jobs data out at 8:30 Wall Street time. That's a Bloomberg Business Flash. Now here is Michael Barr with more on what's going on around the world. Michael, good morning.
Good morning, Karen. Former President Donald Trump sent the strongest signal yet that he plans to run again in 2024. At a pre-election rally in Sioux City, Iowa, Trump falsely claimed again that the election was rigged. In the NBA, Kyrie Irving, the point guard for the Brooklyn Nets franchise, has apologized after being suspended from playing for failing to disavow anti-Semitism when he was given an opportunity to do so. As for the games the Warriors lost, the Astros are a game away from winning the World Series. In Game 5, Houston beat the Phillies 3-2. Thursday night football, the Eagles down the Texans 29-17. In the NHL, the Bruins beat the Rangers 3-1. The Islanders and Devils won. The Capitals lost. Global news, 24 hours a day, on air and on Bloomberg Quick Take. Powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts, more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr. This is Bloomberg. Nathan.
Michael, thank you. It is 519 on Wall Street, live from the Bloomberg Interactive Brokers Studios. This is Bloomberg Daybreak. And before we get that October payrolls data at 8:30 Wall Street time, we are joined early this morning by Jennifer Lee, senior economist at BMO Capital Markets, getting ready for the data and looking ahead to what it may mean for this Federal Reserve. Jen, good morning. You look at the screen. It looks calling for further moderation in the job market. What are you looking for this morning?
Good morning. I'm doing my jumping jacks ahead of this, this very
good call.
Report. So you know that we're definitely looking at interesting times when, you know, when the market is hoping for a weak jobs report. But, you know, obviously that is what is needed. It's almost like a Goldilocks scenario, right? You want it to be not too hot, but not too cold. But, you know, I think we're a little bit below consensus with our call for about 180,000 jobs. But that's still, you know, back to long-run norms. But it's probably just not going to be enough to ease inflation pressures, which is what the Fed is obviously looking for.
Well, what is it going to take for the Fed to get to a point where they're thinking that, okay, job creation is at a level where we can start to think about pulling back a little bit on interest rates?
I think it's going to be what happens because of the weaker jobs. We could still see stronger or, you know, half decent job figures and a slowly rising unemployment rate. And I guess it's going to have to be, you're going to have to see what happens with consumer spending. If consumer spending starts to slow because of these high prices and all that, that is what is going to make them decide to sort of pull off and accelerate a little bit. And of course, they're still calling the job market way too tight. You know, I think those are some of his words on Wednesday. You know, vacancies are still high. The labor market, he was calling it still out of balance as well. So we have to look for just overall slower job growth, the jobless rate climbing higher, and average hourly earnings starting to ease further, just again to dampen consumer spending.
I mean, we are at a point now where we've seen this aggressive tightening cycle, four rate hikes of 75 basis points in a row. Why do you think we haven't seen the kind of deceleration in the labor market that the Fed's looking for with the aggressive rate hikes that it's already put in place?
It's going to go back to demand. You know, we've got not only consumers but businesses, but overall demand is not. It's just too much for the supply side, and you know, we've got so many job vacancies out there. It's not as if we had only one job opening available or something like that. So we still have well over 10 million job openings compared to, you know, almost 6 million unemployed Americans. It's a factor of almost two right now. So that's why I think we're not seeing yet the upward upward climb in the jobless rate, because we're still trying to work down the number of vacancies.
Well, it is interesting that, you know, just a couple of days before we get this jobs report, we're starting to hear from a number of tech companies in particular that are either pulling back or pausing hiring. I know we're not going to get that filtering into the data this morning, but is that starting to show signs that what the Fed is doing is starting to work here to some extent with what the tech companies are doing?
I'm not sure if it's going to be reflecting the Fed's work because, you know, during the pandemic, it was the tech companies that are doing all the hiring. So this is maybe perhaps where the froth was. So now we're trying to get rid of some of the froth at that level. You know, the areas that were hit the hardest, you know, the leisure and hospitality sector is still well below, I believe, levels that prevailed before the pandemic began. So that's where we still need to see some gains. And some of the other tech companies, like Twitter, for example, that's more of a special case, I believe, because of its new owner.
Just about a minute left here, Jen. What are you looking for in terms of wage pressures? Obviously, that's something that the Fed is looking very closely at. What are you expecting from the data this morning?
So we're looking for continued gains, about a 0.3% rise, which would be the third straight such move in a row. And that will help slow the annual increase a little bit, but to about 4.7%, which is unfortunately, or fortunately, whichever way you're looking at it, still too high for a central bank that's just basically trying to restore price stability.
And just quickly, this is the only jobs report we're going to get before the Fed's next meeting. Is it going to have any impact on what they decide in December?
No. In a word, no. It's going to have to be more than one month of a slower growth or even stronger growth, depending which way they're leaning toward.
Thanks, Jen. As always, great to get your thoughts. And again, we're going to have that jobs data coming out 8:30 Wall Street time this morning, and we'll be speaking with Labor Secretary Marty Walsh an hour after that. Complete coverage of the data with October payrolls coming out later this morning. Jennifer Lee, senior economist at BMO Capital Markets, ahead of what comes out of the Labor Department later today. Looking ahead to the market open, S&P futures are moving higher by 24 points. Dow futures up 160. NASDAQ futures are higher by 81 points. 10-year Treasury up 6/32, the yield 4.12%. You're listening to Bloomberg Daybreak. Bloomberg 11:30 weather, mostly sunny today. Highs in the upper 60s, upper 50s for lows tonight. Will be sunny, low 70s tomorrow and Sunday. Nice weekend on tap. Right now, 53 in Central Park.
Broadcasting live from the Bloomberg Interactive Brokers Studio in New York. Bloomberg 1130. To Washington, D.C., Bloomberg 99.1. To Boston, Bloomberg 1061. To San Francisco, Bloomberg 960. To the country, Sirius XM Channel 119. And around the globe, the Bloomberg Business App and BloombergRadio.com. This is Bloomberg Daybreak.
And it's 5:30 on Wall Street. Good morning. I'm Karen Moscow.
I'm Nathan Hager. Bloomberg Daybreak is brought to you by SEI. Asset managers don't get results that are off the charts when their solutions are off the shelf. Learn how SEI's operating platform can turn infrastructure into a competitive advantage at seic.com/tech.
Well, we're just about 4 hours away from the open of U.S. trading. Let's get you up to date on the news you need to know at this hour. We're going to get a sense of how the Federal Reserve's interest rate hikes are impacting the labor market with the October jobs report due out at 8:30 Wall Street time. ZipRecruiter chief economist Julia Pollack believes it'll show the jobs market cooling, but at a very slow pace.
Job gains are still around 60% higher than they were before the pandemic each month on average. They're still much more broadly spread across the economy, across industries. Overall, in those aggregate numbers, this job market still looks strong.
ZipRecruiter chief economist Julia Pollack says industries sensitive to rate hikes could see a steep cool down in hiring.
Well, meantime, Karen, more major companies are pulling back on hiring. Apple's hitting pause on most positions outside of research and development, and Coca-Cola is offering voluntary buyouts to some of its staff in North America.
Well, over at Twitter, Nathan, new owner Elon Musk plans to eliminate half of its 7,500 employees. Bloomberg's Ed Ludlow says it's one of several immediate changes Musk is looking to implement.
The $8 a month version of Twitter Blue could roll out as soon as Monday, and that edit button, which is currently exclusive to Twitter Blue subscribers, could be rolled out as soon as this week for everyone on the platform.
Bloomberg's Ed Ludlow says Elon Musk's planned layoffs for Twitter have prompted a class action lawsuit. It accuses Twitter of violating a federal law that requires a 60-day notice before mass firings.
We'll call this job news of a political kind, Karen. Former President Donald Trump sending his strongest signal yet. He's planning another White House bid.
I will very, very, very probably do it again.
Former President Trump spoke there at a rally in Iowa.
And over in Europe, Nathan, Bank of England Governor Andrew Bailey is defending its latest rate hike, despite saying Britain is headed for a deep recession that could lead to more than 500,000 job losses.
I don't think people would be surprised when they see that we and the Fed are looking at things through slightly different lenses.
And Bank of England Governor Andrew Bailey was speaking with Bloomberg's Francine Lockwell. We'll bring you that conversation in just a few minutes from now. Futures this morning are on the rise. S&P futures up about 25 points. Dow futures up 163. NASDAQ futures up 81. And the 10-year Treasury up 4/32. Yield 4.13%. Straight ahead, your latest local headlines plus a check of sports. And this is Bloomberg.
Thanks, Karen. 533 on Wall Street, 53 degrees in Central Park. Still got that crash northbound New Jersey Turnpike near exit 11. And Michael Barr with more on what's going on in New York and around the world. Michael.
Thank you very much, Nathan. A suspected serial attacker is in custody after a rape in New York City. Carl Fainer, a 29-year-old man experiencing homelessness, was arrested for the sexual assault of a woman who had been jogging along the west side of Manhattan. This Good Samaritan helped the victim.
I didn't ask what happened. I didn't want to pry at all. I didn't want to, you know, intimidate her, scare her.
Police say the suspect used the victim's credit card at a Target in Midtown. New York Democratic Governor Kathy Hochul campaigned yesterday at Barnard College in Manhattan with Hillary Clinton and Vice President Kamala Harris talking about the Supreme Court decision earlier this year that removed federal abortion protections.
I've heard my opponent say, oh, don't worry. The day after the Dobbs decision, nothing changed in the state of New York, so don't worry. You know why nothing changed in the state of New York? Because I'm the governor!
New York Representative Lee Zeldin, the Republican running for governor in the heavily Democratic state, predicted an upset in Tuesday's midterm election at a campaign rally in Albany, New York, last evening.
Upstate, around the rest of the state, they're ready. They're ready to fire Kathy Hochul.
Polls show Hochul ahead over Zeldin. TV megastar Oprah Winfrey says she's backing Democratic nominee John Fetterman in Pennsylvania's key Senate race over Republican opponent Mehmet Oz. Winfrey said, if I lived in Pennsylvania, I would have already cast my vote for John Fetterman for many reasons. Winfrey helped turn Dr. Oz into a household name on television. The FBI says it has received credible information about a broad threat to synagogues in New Jersey. A warning that has prompted some municipalities to send extra police officers to guard houses of worship. Governor Phil Murphy says that he has been in contact with the state attorney general and New Jersey Homeland Security about the credible threat. Global News 24 hours a day on air and on Bloomberg Quick Take, powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts from more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr, and this is Bloomberg. Nathan.
Thank you, Michael. 5:35 on Wall Street. Time for the Bloomberg Sports Update, brought to you by Tri-State Audi. Here's John Stashower.
Thanks, Nathan. The Nets play tonight in Washington. We'll see if they allow Kyrie Irving to play. Late last night with the Nets, and the NBA had been waiting for an apology from Irving. He posted the words 4 hours after the Nets suspended him for at least 5 games. They said they were deeply disturbed by Irving's failure to disavow anti-Semitism, despite multiple opportunities to do so, including yesterday.
I take my responsibility for posting that. Some things that were questionable in there, untrue. Like I said, in the first time you guys asked me when I was sitting on that stage, I don't believe everything that everybody posts. It's a documentary. So I take my responsibility.
I never apologized, and when specifically asked about being anti-Semitic, Irving said only he can't be because he knows where he came from. NBA Commissioner Adam Silver said he's going to meet with Irving next week. Houston Astros had their first lead of the World Series. They beat the Phillies 3-2. They lead the series 3-2. Jeremy Pena, the go-ahead home run. Justin Verlander finally got a World Series win, his first in his ninth career start. Chaz McCormick may have saved the game with a catch at the bottom of the ninth inning. Tomorrow night in Houston, either the Astros win their second championship ever, or there'll be a Game 7 on Sunday. NFL, also Philadelphia versus Houston. Eagles won 29-17, and they are 8-0. Best start ever. The Bruins are 10-1, scored 4 times third period, beat the Rangers at the Garden 5-2. Islanders and Devils both won on the road. They both won 5 in a row. The Devils won in Edmonton by scoring the tying and go-ahead goals 7 seconds apart. John Stashower, Bloomberg Sports. Nathan?
All right, John, thanks. 5:37 on Wall Street. Time for the Tri-State Business Report with Bloomberg's Scott Carr.
New York City's new pay transparency laws got a blind spot, Wall Street bonuses. The law, which took effect Tuesday, requires local employers to make a best estimate of a salary range when posting job openings, ostensibly giving candidates, especially minority and female applicants, a stronger hand. Bonuses are excluded, even though they make up the lion's share of Wall Street pay. The city's Department of Buildings Commissioner Eric Ulrich, who's involved in a criminal investigation into illegal gambling, resigned Thursday. Ulrich told the Adams administration he wants to avoid unnecessary distractions for it. Connecticut Superior Court has found taxpayers' commercial property was overvalued for property tax purposes and reduced the valuation. Taxpayer lost an appeal in which they argue the highest and best use of the property had shifted toward low-end commercial retail uses. That's the Bloomberg Tri-State Business Report. I'm Scott Carr.
Scott, thanks. 538 on Wall Street. Bloomberg Radio is on the air from San Francisco to New York, London to Hong Kong. Let's check in with our global news team for some of the top stories heard on our 300 affiliate radio stations around the world.
I'm Steve Potisk on WFLA Tampa Bay. We're talking about Disney Florida theme park employees struggling to make ends meet.
I'm Courtney Donahoe on KTRH in Houston. Hundreds of pharmacies are having trouble filling prescriptions for the antibiotic amoxicillin.
I'm Gina Cervetti, and for WCCO in Minneapolis, I'm reporting that General Mills is among companies now hitting the pause button when it comes to advertising on Twitter, since Elon Musk has taken over the company.
I'm Stephen Carroll on Bloomberg DAB Digital Radio in London. We've been reporting on the French bank Société Générale posting quarterly profits much stronger than expected thanks to a surge in debt trading.
I'm Scott Carr on WDCH in Washington. I'm reporting on the just assessed value of some of our nation's capital's most iconic structures.
And those are some of the stories our 2,700 Bloomberg journalists and analysts are working on this morning around the world. It's 5:39 on Wall Street.
The following is an editorial from Bloomberg Opinion.
This editorial was written by the Bloomberg Editorial Board. The Federal Reserve surprised nobody when it raised its policy rate 75 basis points this week. Attention had already switched to what happens next. Despite Chairman Jerome Powell's efforts to address those questions, his answers leave plenty of doubt. The Fed has a policy framework that's meant to shed light on how it will respond to changing economic conditions. Unfortunately, it's now largely irrelevant. The new framework should look skeptically at forward guidance, restore the goal of heading off inflation before it happens, explicitly state the indicators that guide interest rate decisions, and above all, clarify the appropriate policy response to shocks in supply as opposed to demand. Without a fresh look at these issues, investors will continue to ask the wrong questions and be frustrated by the Fed's unhelpful answers. This editorial was written by the Bloomberg Editorial Board. For more Bloomberg Opinion, please go to Bloomberg.com/opinion or O-P-I-N. Go on the Bloomberg Terminal.
This has been Bloomberg Opinion.
And you can hear Bloomberg Opinion editorials every weekday at this time. Terminal customers can read more at O-P-I-N. Go. Futures moving higher on this Jobs Friday. You're listening to Bloomberg Daybreak. Bloomberg Sports is brought to you by Audi. Don't let someone else drive off in the Audi model you've always wanted. Visit your local Tri-State Audi dealer to get behind the wheel of yours today or visit AudiOffers.com for more information.
Markets, headlines, and breaking news 24 hours a day at Bloomberg.com, the Bloomberg Business App, and at Bloomberg Quick Take. This is a Bloomberg Business Flash.
And I'm Karen Moscow. This update's brought to you by SEI, built on advanced technologies and 50 years of innovation. SEI offers asset managers a comprehensive and flexible operations outsourcing platform. Go to SEIC.com/managers. Well, global equities are trimming a weekly loss as Chinese shares surged, and we await the October jobs report. We check the markets every 15 minutes throughout the trading day on Bloomberg. S&P futures up 24 points this morning. Dow futures up 161 and NASDAQ futures up 76. The 10-year Treasury up 3/32, yield 4.13%. The yield on the 2-year, 4.74%. And NYMEX crude oil is up 2.4%, up $2.18 at $90.36 a barrel. That's a Bloomberg Business Flash. Now here's Michael Barr with more on what's going on around the world. Michael.
Karen, thank you very much. Former President Donald Trump sent the strongest signal yet that he plans to run for 2024 for president, saying at an Iowa rally that he will very, very probably make another bid for the White House. In the NBA, the Brooklyn Nets, Kyrie Irving has apologized after being suspended for at least 5 games for failing to disavow anti-Semitism when he was given an opportunity to do so. The Astros are a game away from winning the World Series. In Game 5, Houston beat the Phillies 3-2. Global news, 24 hours a day, on air and on Bloomberg Quick Take, powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr, and this is Bloomberg. Nathan.
Okay, Michael, thanks. It's 5:48 on Wall Street, live from the Bloomberg Interactive Broker Studios. This is Bloomberg Daybreak, and we now want to bring you our interview with Bank of England Governor Andrew Bailey. He is rejecting the notion that he helped contribute to the downfall of UK Prime Minister Liz Truss, saying extending a market intervention would have created more problems. It comes as the BOE delivered its biggest rate increase in three decades with the goal of cooling red-hot inflation in the UK. Bailey sat down with Bloomberg's Francine Lacroix.
No, we don't target the exchange rate. We take it into account, obviously, in our setting of monetary policy, so it features in our forecast, it features in our deliberations, but we don't target it.
But is there a point where it becomes problematic?
No, because I think the word problematic has all sorts of implications. I don't see it like that. We look at the things that are causing it to move. That was the old standard way you can look at it, range of angles you can come at it from. And in doing so, we're seeking to understand what particularly is causing it.
So there's nothing that would warrant an intervention, again, because it actually hurts with your inflation problem that you're trying to target.
Well, in the precise meaning of the term intervention, I think that's a term that we haven't used that approach since the early 1990s, and we all know the history of that period. So it's not something that we discuss in terms of our toolkit.
But is it on top of your mind, or is it just something that's a reaction?
It's part of the things that we discuss. I wouldn't want to sort of give it more status than that, to be honest. Okay.
Governor, you say the markets aren't right to expect rates to peak at around 4.75%. Where will they peak?
Well, we don't know, is the answer. The point we've made today is that we thought that the market curve had really overdone it, and that when we spent a lot of hours, preparing our decisions and going through as a committee, we really found it not just very hard, but not possible to really square our own reading of the economy and what was to come in the economy and the inflation outlook with the pricing of interest rate pricing of the markets.
But so why give such a clear guidance? Who is it hurting? Is it for mortgage holders? Is it for people that have houses?
Well, it's certainly for mortgage holders because, of course, the UK mortgage market has shifted much more to being a fixed rate market. Not the same sort of fixed rate structure as the US, but it's still much more of a fixed rate market now. So it's far more priced off the swap curve.
Right.
What has happened to the rate curve over the last 2 months? I think has fed through directly into mortgage pricing. So a lower curve will pass through. And, of course, all borrowers in that sense benefit from it.
Governor, do you think you'll hold back in raising rates where they need to be to take care of mortgage owners?
No, I'm afraid our remit is very clear. It's inflation. I mean, it's price stability. It's a 2% inflation target. We won't deviate from that. But what would obviously, things like the mortgage market and the housing market feature in our assessment of the economy and our decisions in reaching a conclusion on how to meet the inflation target.
Is 75 basis point hikes the new normal? Is it the new thing? I know we have a story on Bloomberg saying how different you are to Jay Powell in your view of the economy.
Well, I think what I would say about the US and the UK are facing very different situations and very different shocks. I mean, we're facing a huge real income shock, negative real income shock in terms of energy, particularly gas, which the US isn't facing. It's got a very different inflation context in that sense. So I don't think people would be surprised when they see that we and the Fed are looking at things through slightly different lenses and we come to different conclusions. I resist people saying, well, you should do the same as this other central bank.
Right. But do you think you'll be more aggressive in tightening quicker?
No, you really should not. The fact that we've done 75 today, nobody should read into it. That's the new norm. That's not appropriate.
Governor, at some point, you'll step away from this tightening spree. What indicators do you look at to see when you can cool off a bit?
Well, obviously, we always look at what the profile of inflation is going forwards. I think then, as I said earlier on today, that we look very carefully at the labour market because we have a very tight labour market in this country. I mean, it's interesting that there's a lot of evidence that the economy is slowing. There's some evidence now that labour demand is beginning to slow, but we still have a very tight labour market. We've got a smaller labour force today than we had immediately before COVID.
But are there specific surveys or indicators that carry more weight than others that you look at?
No, I mean, I think we've always in the MPC rightly sort of avoided that sort of debate because it means that individual pieces of data get in a sense too much significance. And frankly, also, I would say it changes over time. I mean, the things we look at in the economy more particularly than others depend upon the situation. So the labour market at the moment has a very close focus because it is so tight.
And that was Bank of England Governor Andrew Bailey speaking with Bloomberg's Francine Lacroix. You can catch the full interview on Bloomberg.com or on the Bloomberg terminal. Karen.
All right, Nathan, it is 5:54 on Wall Street. Now another legal story we're watching this morning. It is brought to you by American Arbitration Association. Business disputes are inevitable. Resolve faster with the American Arbitration Association, the global leader in alternative dispute resolution for over 90 years. More at ADR.org. Well, Republicans have won a ruling on absentee ballots in Pennsylvania, a state where a close race could determine control of the Senate. In a unanimous decision, the Pennsylvania Supreme Court has ordered officials not to count votes from mail-in or absentee ballots with the wrong date marked on the envelope, but split on the question of whether the state law provision violates the Civil Rights Act of 1964. Pennsylvania counties have reported receiving more than 850,000 completed mail-in ballots, with about 70% of requests from Democrats and about 20% from Republicans. From where Bloomberg's June Grasso speaks to elections law expert Richard Briffaut, a professor at Columbia Law School.
Rich, wasn't this same issue before the courts in Pennsylvania, before the 2020 election?
This issue has been in and out of the Pennsylvania federal and state courts for the last several years. Now, if this doesn't affect the question that the ballots have to be in by the deadline, this is not any effort to change the deadline. It's just that the state law requires that the ballot be signed, put in a security envelope, and the outside of the envelope be dated. But the U.S. Court of Appeals with the Third Circuit ruled in an earlier case dealing with a state election that they would have to count ballots even if the date was missing or improper, so long as the ballots had been received on time, because the fact that the ballot was not dated was not material to the voter's qualifications. In other words, if the ballot's been received on time, why does it matter whether it's dated or not? The state law does require the dating, but part of the federal voting rights law says that you shouldn't deny anybody the right to vote for an error or omission on anything relating to elections if it's not material to determining their qualifications. And omitting to put a date on something when the thing has still come in by the deadline, the Third Circuit ruled was not material. The Republican Party tried to seek review of that in the Supreme Court. The Supreme Court wound up ultimately vacating the decision as moot, as opposed to leaving it in place. And so, in a way, the previous federal court decision had no precedential effect. So the Pennsylvania Supreme Court had to decide this.
The Pennsylvania Supreme Court came to the opposite decision from the Third Circuit and then deadlocked 3-3 on the question involving the Civil Rights Act?
So the state secretary of state had adopted a guidance for the county board saying you have to accept ballots even if they're not dated, if they've arrived on time. And so the Republican Party sued, and apparently there's a procedure in the Pennsylvania system allowing them to sue directly in the Pennsylvania Supreme Court. Pennsylvania Supreme Court held that the guidance violated the state statute, which requires that ballots be dated. But where the court divided evenly, 3-3, is on the question of whether that state law was itself in violation of the federal voting rights law, which makes it illegal to refuse to count the ballot if any error or omission on it is not material to the voter's qualification to vote. That was the issue that the Pennsylvania Supreme Court divided on, 3-3.
And that's Richard Briffaut, a professor at Columbia Law School, speaking with the Bloomberg's June Grasso. Catch more of that interview, plus analysis of the latest legal news, by subscribing to the Bloomberg Law Podcast or downloading the show at Bloomberg.com/podcast. Attorneys can find exceptional legal research and business development tools at BloombergLaw.com and on the Bloomberg Terminal at BLawGo. And again, futures are on the rise this morning. S&P futures up 25 points. And still ahead on Bloomberg Daybreak, we have a check on the business headlines and all the news you need to start your day. And this is Bloomberg.